University in Johannesburg. On behalf of the African Trustee for the African BBT, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, we'd like to extend a very warm welcome to you. A special welcome to Mr. Luvuyo Mandela, the grandson of the world icon and the late President Mandela. Mr. Luvuyo is our special guest this evening, sir. The topic of freedom is one that resonates with all human beings. You can approach the concept of freedom from so many angles: political, economic, intellectual freedom, religious freedom, academic freedom, artistic freedom, and so on. People are enamored by freedom of movement, freedom of assembly. Whenever you hear that something is free, you get the sense that there are no boundaries, no limitations. Free elections, free markets, free love, free thinking. Indeed, many human beings long to be as free as a bird. If any of you are studying commerce and marketing, you know how marketers tap into the human love of freedom and things free. You go to a shop, a supermarket, a store, and what do you see? Buy two, get the third one free. Marketers know that you actually don't need to, but you can't resist the temptation of getting something for free. So you rationalize to yourself, buy two, get the third one free. I only came to the store to get one, but who knows? I could store the other two or give the other two away. So my point is that there's something attractive about freedom and things that are free. Yet we need to try to understand a much deeper and broader concept of freedom. I'm very much attracted to a statement by Nelson Mandela. There is no such thing as part freedom. But it is this part freedom that I say our economic and political leaders have been offering the world. We need to go much deeper. We need to have a broader understanding of freedom based not simply on materialism, but on the spiritual reality. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, as Bhaktivedanta Swami is known in full, came to South Africa twice. He also went to Kenya. In Kenya, he exhorted the students, the general population, the leaders, that they should build their nation on the spiritual platform. What I'm going to propose to you tonight is that indeed, if we're going to actually have real progress, we need to consider the spiritual platform, and then we can understand what is full freedom as contrasted to partial freedom. I'm going to touch upon a thirst that cannot be quenched by politics and economics. I'd like to introduce what is the most important human right that distinguishes us from the birds, the bees. After World War II, many nations of the world came together in the United Nations and approved of a Universal Declaration of Human Rights. the world was still traumatized by the horrors of World War II, in which 55 million people died. The consciousness at that time was never again. Let us make this Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and in that way, a clear path forward for the progress of humanity can be cleared. I'm going to provoke you a little bit, please don't mind, and I'll be happy to hear your response. There are five great myths of human progress. These myths have all turned out to be suspect. Myth number one, money brings happiness. Social scientists, through their research, have established that beyond a basic middle-class standard of living, any further increase in income or luxury does not lead to an increase in happiness as measured by objective psychological standards. I spoke about this a few years ago at University of Cape Town, an audience of 200 students and professors. I asked them, I'm sure you're familiar with the new science of happiness, about 20 years old. You're familiar with this research that beyond this middle class level of financial attainment, any further increase in wealth will not make you any happier. I asked for a show of hands. 80% of those attending raise their hands saying, we have heard of this. It's generally accepted. Academics will quibble about details, but the general concept is accepted. So then I said, knowing this, and knowing your level of intelligence and education, potential success, how many of you here are prepared to live your life on a basic middle-class standard? No one raised their hands. So what we see is painful. What we see is a disconnect between knowledge and lifestyle. From the viewpoint of the ancient Vedic knowledge of India, and more precisely, I should say, associated with India. Just like the sun is associated with the east. Loosely speaking, we say the sun rises in the east. But the sun is for everyone. It's just that in the material world of temporary material manifestations, things have to have some connection to time and space. So therefore we say, this knowledge is associated. Taking care of those, dare I say, external priorities, we have forgotten how powerful our spirit soul is. And we have forgotten our connection to the Supreme Soul. Unless we have a class of leaders that can uplift the people with spiritual knowledge, you'll always see society declining. Despite so many revolutions, so many elections, so many restructurings of the political economy, you'll see that actually not much changes. There seems to be a potential for change. There's a great hope. And yes, In terms of the externals, there is adjustment. But then, again and again, the people become disappointed. Often political change means the ins become the outs become the ins. Is there a way we can focus on the real needs of the human being? Perhaps we become distracted. I'd like to present to you a possible way we can visualize the supreme absolute truth in our daily life. 5 levels. 3 are just about material nature, ordinary material existence. But 2 are transcendental, meaning beyond matter, beyond time and space. The point I'll make is that without a grasp of the top 2 levels of the 5, we cannot actually properly benefit humanity. Humanity is actually not free. The first level, in the Sanskrit language, you see, Sanskrit is a language particularly appropriate for discussions of enlightenment. Every language has its forte. English is the business language. German is still known as the scientific language, especially for engineering. French, supposedly, is the language of love. Sanskrit is the language of the spiritual science. So therefore, I'll present a few Sanskrit terms, but I'll describe them. The first level of our experiencing the presence of the Supreme in our life is called anamaya. Realization of God based on food. The fact that I'm being maintained, I can eat, there's food for me. It's a very preliminary realization of God. We cannot actually maintain ourselves. We don't control nature, despite our technology. Someone who appreciates the Supreme simply because he or she can eat. Although that's rudimentary, it is still noteworthy. You may hear persons say, "Food on my table, I know God is able." That is correct. It's the beginning, the very beginning of God realization. I'm reminded of a commendation that the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization spoke upon the passing of Nelson Mandela. They complimented him for understanding that so much of freedom depends on food. Not simply in growing food, but the distribution of food. So this first level of God realization, anamaya, is indeed important. We can't live without food. Yet the UN has calculated that 1/3 of all the food produced in the world is wasted. 1.3 billion metric tons annually. In the UK alone, of all the fruits and vegetables grown in the UK, 30% is wasted because of cosmetic reasons. The fruits and vegetables don't look good enough for the consumers. If we have so much trouble on the first level of God realization, how can we proceed any further? Think of the little baby being nursed at his or her mother's breast. The child, the baby, is simply focused on being fed. So much of the world has problems just eating. There are 1 billion people in the world who are starving. And there are 1 billion people in the world who have obesity problems. Obviously, there's a crisis in distribution, and there is a crisis in how human beings view simple living or the lack of simple living. Moving beyond this first level of God realization called anamaya, we go to pranamaya, understanding God simply through the fact that you're alive. In churches, you can often hear, I did it myself, children getting up and giving testimony. I thank God for my mother. I thank God for my father. I thank God that I'm alive today. That is noteworthy. That's the second level the ancient Vedic texts give, the second level of God realization. And there are many places in the world where you're afraid, what will tomorrow bring? Will my life be taken away? Will I be incarcerated? Will I be brutalized? So we don't want to minimize that pranamaya level, thankfulness to God for being alive, just as we don't want to minimize the first level, anamaya, thanks to God for food on the table. These are all, as I said, preliminary levels of God realization. You can see your dependency, your actual helplessness. Whether you're rich or poor, your life is very fragile. The world's food supply is very fragile. A pious person can see the presence of God in these preliminary levels. Still, there's another preliminary level called Gyanamaya. It's appropriate that we discuss that level here at the university. The third level, Gyanamaya, refers to appreciating God because you can think, you can intuit, you can cognate, you can get education, you can be cultured. A university is an active place for the intelligence. It's an active place for acquiring knowledge. But what is the purpose of that knowledge? Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, as his followers affectionately refer to him, pointed out that if we become so caught up in knowledge of material adjustment, knowledge of material alteration, and we forget the most important knowledge of that unit of spiritual consciousness known in Sanskrit as the Atma, if we forget that, we've wasted our human form of life. So yes, human beings need intellectualism. They need artistry. They need culture. And they can appreciate the presence of the Supreme Absolute Truth just in their thought processes. I think, therefore I am. But there are levels of God realization beyond these three material levels. What is beyond matter? What is beyond time? What is beyond space? The classic spiritual text, Bhagavad Gita, tells us that we must go to level number four, known as Vijnanamaya. Understanding that there is a spiritual identity different from the body and mind.
I'm hoping technology will play fair. And to be quite honest, these words of wisdom aren't my own. I'm here to thank you for the recognition of my great-grandfather, Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela. And also just read a quote that is much in line with the topic of this evening and much of the discourse that has been going on this evening. And just in general, what you basically find that people that are most celebrated around the world are those that suspend a sense of self and start engaging the greater community and start servicing. And to that regard, the quote that I'm going to read is from a recent book that's been published in relation to my great-grandfather, is Conversations with Myself. And this is from a letter that he had written to my step-great-grandmother, Winnie Madikizela Mandela. And in the letter he says, "In judging our progress as individuals, we tend to concentrate on external factors such as one's social position, influence and popularity, wealth and standard of education. These are, of course, important in measuring one's success in material matters, and it is perfectly understandable if many people exert themselves mainly to achieve all these. But internal factors may be even more crucial in assessing one's development as a human being. Honesty, sincerity, simplicity, humility, pure generosity, absence of vanity, and readiness to serve others. Qualities which are in easy reach of our every soul are the foundation of one's spiritual life." And those are, like I said, not my words of wisdom, but my great-grandfather's words of wisdom. And in thanking you for the gift that has been given in honor of my great-grandfather, I would like to share that. And the reason I actually ran out to the car to grab the iPad is because I've read that quote on a number of different platforms, but the more I listened to His Holiness, the more I thought it most relevant for this evening. So I definitely don't have the answers. I'm too young to have any inclination of trying to share any answers. But with that quote, I encourage each of you to continue on a journey of self-discovery and continue the work that you do, both in a spiritual journey and in your lives in general. With that, I'd like to thank you very much once more and enjoy your evening. Thank you.